The views and opinions expressed by individuals on the following program do not necessarily reflect those of the network, Guys Guy Radio, and its platforms.
It's Guys Guy Radio. Here's your host, Robert Manny.
Welcome to Guys Guys Radio. This is your host, Robert Manny, welcoming you to the show where men and women can be at their best and everyone wins, Guys Guys Radio. We're here to inform you, inspire you, empower you, and get you to think, feel, and who knows, maybe even act by virtue of the journeys, stories, experiences, and insights of the guests I bring you each and every week to the show. And once again, this week is no exception. Today, we're going to talk about the secrets to finding healthy love, regardless of your age, with special guest, Lori Gerber. You know, finding love can be a challenge at any age, but particularly when you're over 50. And as you know, on our show, we often focus on the relationship segments on people kind of in their second stage of life, because things are so different. I'm a boomer, and things are so different in many ways for daters who are in their 20s, Gen Z, or even millennials than they are for us boomers. So we focus on that. And it's one of the most challenging times to find love and find healthy relationships is when you're over 50, because you've got a lot of baggage. You've got to lick your wounds before you get back out there. You may have been out of the dating game for 10, 20, who knows, maybe even 30 years, and life has happened to you. And you got to do a lot of work before you put yourself out in front of others to find relationships. So I look for the best dating coaches that are out there, and I bring them to the show. And I'm so fortunate that I got connected to Lori Gerber, because she has done amazing work in terms of helping people find healthy love at any age. We're going to go through the programs she has for women, the Master the Art of Love for Women, and also she has a Master the Art of Love for Men. We're going to get into that. This is Guys Guys Radio. We're going to talk about some of the specific challenges that guys have, particularly in this current modern world when it comes to dating, as well as when they're over 50. So I think you'll enjoy that. And we're going to have some solutions, what people can do to get themselves ready to get back out there, and then what they can do to succeed when they get back out there into the dating landscape. I think you'll enjoy it with Lori Gerber, our special guest on Guys Guys Radio.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Okay, welcome to the interview portion of Guys Guys Radio, the place where men and women can come to learn how to live better lives and build better relationships. And today's guest is one of the most respected relationship experts in the country. She's helped thousands of singles find love later in life, break old patterns, and build conscious, healthy relationships. We're talking about finding love at any age, the mistakes people over 50 make when dating, and what women and men especially need to know when they're stepping back into the dating arena, which can be very tricky. This week's special guest is relationship expert and coach Lori Gerber. Let me tell you a little bit about Lori. Founder of Gerber Coaching, creator of the Master the Art of Love, an online course for women over 50 who are ready to stop leaving love to chance and start pursuing it with real intention. And she's also created a Master the Art of Love for Men course. She hosts the podcast Love at Any Age, where she coaches listeners on the honest, practical strategies that lead to healthy, lasting relationships, because it's never too late to find it. And she's got over 20 years of experience, president of the life coaching division of the Handle Group, and as founder of Lori Gerber Coaching. She's coached thousands of individuals and couples to break old patterns and build something genuine. She's been on, she's done a 10X, TEDx. She's been on a Today Show, Dr. Phil, MTV, A&E. She's done over 200 interviews. Wow, wow, wow. And she's here right now on Guys Guys Radio for the first time, and I'm delighted. So welcome to Guys Guys Radio, Lori Gerber.
And I still have more to say, even after all that.
Well, we got plenty of time, so let's get into it. Lori, you've worked with people at every stage of life. Why do you believe that it's never too late to find meaningful love?
because it just keeps happening. Right? And it's only our fear. You know, our fear and our concern over the work it will take that stops us. And then we say it's too late. We blame our age. We blame our location. We blame some attribute about ourselves. But the truth is, we're just scared and we're just either not willing to do the work or we don't understand what the work is. And so I've dedicated my professional life to mapping out what that work is and holding people's hands and cheering them on as they put one foot in front of the other and do that work towards the end of what I think is what most people think the most valuable thing, especially as we age, which is love.
That's absolutely fantastic. What do you think? I guess let's start with some of the basic stuff. Dating over 50 compared to dating in your 20s and 30s. What's the big difference there? What do people need to know?
Well, one of the main differences is now we have the internet and we have online dating, which has serious pros and cons. The pro being obviously that you can date in your pajamas and and there's truly a never-ending supply of seeming potential. And one of the cons being that because of that, it's a bit dehumanized and people can feel very fatigued and very frustrated and very overwhelmed and very dehumanized at the end of engaging in online dating. But the other great thing about dating over 50 is that for most of us, we are no longer trying to find that perfect co-parent, household partner. We are just in a completely different game of what we're looking for in a mate. So, excuse me.
Bless you.
So we just get to open our minds up and start from a very different place of we get to start from a very different perspective on who we are looking for. So instead of needing to look for somebody who would make a great parent or who you want or has the same parenting goals as you do, who needs to live in the same place, it's so much more open and so much more possible. You can really date people across geography now and not have to have that be an obstacle. You can live apart together now. You don't have to get married now and to have a healthy long-term relationship. The gender roles have changed remarkably in the last 20 to 30 years, so that opens up a lot of possibilities. And the main thing is that you can really focus on who is a compatible match for you emotionally and in terms of what you like to do with your time. And so that's just more fun and easier not to settle, I would say, because that biological clock thing that women have in their 20s and 30s, that's now not influencing you to settle. And so for me, that's the most exciting part.
So, do you think that emotional maturity can make love better later in life?
For sure. If you happen to have it, yes. Emotional
Exactly.
maturity can make love better at any age. But yeah, I think it's one of the key components to why we should be more hopeful as we age, not less hopeful.
Now, a lot of people, there's some challenges. We'll focus our conversation. Let's talk about, kind of 50 and up. Many people over 50 are discouraged by past relationships, and we'll get into some of that. But how do you help them shift from disappointment to possibility? I mean, everybody's got baggage. Everybody's
Right.
been burned. Everybody's loved and lost love, theoretically. How do you kind of and getting started again can be a real challenge. I know I'm throwing a lot at you, but give us a little bit
I
of an
can
overview.
handle it.
All
Yeah,
right, that's what I
because,
like to hear.
well, I have determined that there are 34 obstacles that people run into in finding and maintaining healthy love. I just determined that from writing down the obstacles over 20 years of coaching, and it's been about 3 years since I've heard a new one to add to the list. So I think I have the total list. I could be wrong. I'm not attached to it only being 34. But, and everybody has different ones. And a whole chunk of those obstacles fall under what I call readiness, right? Readiness factors. And what you're talking about in terms of having not processed your baggage is one of the big readiness factors. So I'll answer your question now. And there are two main ways I start to help somebody put their baggage in their past. The first is studying their lineage. And people think it's remarkable to me how much people think they are making original mistakes and having original problems, right? Sorry. We are not having original mistakes and problems. And if you start to look back at your lineage and see how you are either doing exactly what your parents and grandparents did, a variation on what they did, or a reaction to that ends you up in a similar situation, there is a relief in it. There is always a relief in it because you understand that it is not personal. It is not an internal flaw. It is something I think spiritually you are here to evolve in honor of your lineage, right? In honor of your lineage, you break the lineage. So that's one piece of really readying your mindset for healthful dating, where you're not repeating the mistakes of the past, is you understand the context, historical context. It's the same as we're doing with human history, right? Like, understand the historical context so you can make better decisions today. The second thing is understanding your personal relationship history and your personal patterns. And one of our modules is the relationship history exercise, where you turn what is sort of I'll call it historical fiction or mythology in your own mind about who you are and what you've been through into black and white. I chose this, I chose this, I chose this, I chose this. And we break it down by head, heart, and hoo-ha. Head being practical, heart being how it feels, and hoo-ha being the chemistry or attraction. And I have you do this exercise where you analyze every past love through that lens. And suddenly you will see you do not have a million bad patterns. You have two, and they're preventable, but only if you can see them in black and white, own them, and then change your behavior.
It seems like, yeah, a lot of folks who are single or who are currently single over 50 run into the patterns where they choose the same type of partner, and they haven't been circumspect about their role and why the relationship didn't last, and why they're choosing the same type of partner. Even though you can have short-term joy and success, it usually has the same ending. Talk to us a little bit more about that, Laurie.
Well, I think you said something very important in how you phrase that, which is we choose the short term. And that is what we human beings do, right? When we eat a huge meal before bed, or we drink too much, or we just keep scrolling, or we're choosing the short term gratification in lieu of holding out for the real thing. And I'm forever telling my clients, a Snickers bar is not a meal. I know they advertise it as a meal, but if you're snacking on Snicker bars, you're not going to be hungry for your healthy dinner. And I just think that's what we naturally do because we want that short-term gratification. So it is possible to change a pattern, but you do have to be serious about it. Like any bad habit or any addiction you're working on, you do have to say, I recognize this is going to feel weird. I recognize this is going to feel hard and different. I better get my support system around me. That's why I have group coaching and groups, and you need support like anything hard that one goes through. But there is that temporary loss of the dopamine hit or the satisfaction that you do get out of something that you know isn't right, but is giving you some short-term feel good. And I break it down pretty simply. It's like you're either getting head, heart, or hoo-ha, or two out of the three, and that's why you're sacrificing the third.
Okay, that's a great point. What happens, because this happens all the time, what happens when you're aware of those things, but you meet somebody and they initially make you feel really good, and they're your type. They're that type that you have, but it's not right. That type is not necessarily right for you. What should what do you How
So
do you
good.
coach that individual? Should they go on a date? Should they hope for the best so they see if they can steer the relationship so they don't run into the same issues, or do they walk away?
Well, tell me a little more about the scenario. How do they know it's not right? What's the flag?
They might not know it's not right, but because a lot of people, I think, are not circumspect about what's happened in the past. I love your process because it makes them you hold the mirror up for them, and
Right.
I think that's really helpful. But even if they're somewhat aware of that, and then they meet somebody, they're going to kinetically, they're going to feel that connection with that
Right.
person, like,
Right.
oh yeah, even though that person is probably not right for them because that's the type that they're usually
The
attracted
type,
to that doesn't
right.
work out. So what do you coach the person to do? How do they handle that situation? Because that's the tipping point. I'm sure they either go right or they left. They go right or left, and a lot of times they make the wrong turn and wrong choice.
Right. And I will say my impression is that type works out about 50% of the time. So it's a really hard question you're saying because sometimes picking your type works out and sometimes it really doesn't. So I break it down into very specific criteria in head, heart, and hoo-ha. So we have three lists, head, heart, and hoo-ha lists. And instead of pitting those H's against each other, each one gets its whole own 100% of the pie. So it's got to be 8 out of 10 in head, 8 out of 10 in heart, 8 out of 10 in hoo-ha. And each person has a, by the way, my free webinar has, literally, how do I make this chart? How do I pick what's on this chart? How do I use this chart in dating? Because this is my number one tool that helps people, to your point, stay alert even when their heart gets carried away or their hoo-ha gets carried away, which is what generally happens. Head doesn't usually get carried away, right? Head is like, I can't wait to tell my mother, but head is not like, woo, I have to keep this around, right? So heart or hoo-ha or both get carried away, and generally they sell out head. Or they could sell out heart. If the hoo-ha is good enough, it could sell out heart. If the heart's good enough and the head's good enough, it can sell out hoo-ha. But the point is, there's a very clear written in black and white, a chart, I nerd out on this, it's very analytical, of criteria and questions to go with each one. So I get my clients into a 3-date strategy where they have the answers to these questions by the end of 3 dates, and we go line by line. So you're not allowed to be like, well, I'm sure his money's fine, or oh, I'm sure her health is fine, or I'm sure, I'm sure that issue with the kids is no big deal, right? It's eyes wide open with my protocol. So nobody's surprised with my protocol. It's not to say they're never disappointed, but they're never surprised because they always knew what the red flags were going to be. And by date three, I don't let my clients go on if they can't tell me the 7 liabilities. Like, what are the 7 things that concern you about this person? There need to be a few in head, a few in heart, and a few in hoo-ha, or else the person's BSing you, right? Like, this is not a real human. I need to know what the parts are that scare you, worry you, are flags for you. So again, it's not foolproof that you won't still sell out, if the good is good enough, but you're never going to be surprised if you're dating by this method.
Okay, my special guest on Guys Guys Radio, Lori Gerber, creator of the Master the Art of Love, and there's a for women and for men. What's the, in your opinion and your experience, what's the difference between the dating challenges for men and women when they're kind of, let's say, over 45, over 50, in that second half?
Ooh, so interesting. So what I hear from men all the time is that they feel rejected. They feel rejected. They don't feel like they have a chance. They don't feel that they're given a chance. They feel like some particular thing is being shallowly held against them. And this is amazing. I actually recently brought together a men's group and a women's group to talk to each other. So beautiful, right?
Wow,
They both
that's cool.
could see, oh, we think the thing of the, like, we're all making the same mistakes, right? Thinking we understand how the other side thinks. And this is illuminating for women to understand because women are so concerned about how they look. Will they be chosen? Are they loved? Is the man paying attention? Meanwhile, they do not understand that the men are over there going like, I can't get a like on this dating site, right? Like, I can't get someone to, unless I'm 6 foot tall, handsome, wealthy, whatever, I can't even get anyone's attention. So it's just so sad that both sides are feeling hopeless, helpless, unattended to. It's quite sad. So that we have in common.
Is the criteria that daters are going through for over 50, is it too, is the list, does the list get too long? Because some of the things that come up when dating, whether 30, 40s, 50s, whatever, happen over and over. So if you're in your 50s, your list of must-haves can be pretty long. And I always say it should be about three things that are value-based. But when that list goes long and long, then sometimes with the women have the list. Guys don't have really lists. They're more instinctual, I think, when it comes to dating. And there's the solution and the problem there at the same time. But how can do you think we get into too much process when we're dating, when
You're
we're
asking me,
over 50?
does size matter? Does the size of my list matter?
Yes, I am asking
Get
that.
it? Okay. Yeah, size matters. No. So I do agree with you that there is the pitfall of a too long list. And a too long list just begs the question, why are you so hopeless? Right? See readiness mindset. So yes, I only let people have 5 to 10 things on each list, right? I think if once it's getting over 10, you're overstating something, you're protesting too much, you're not getting to the heart of the matter. But the bigger problem is that people don't get to the heart of the matter in their list. And I think you might have been alluding to that when you say values. People often write, I call it a proxy or a cliche. You know, they write tall, dark, and handsome, or they write, X amount of dollars or
Big
educational status or
long fingers or something like Daniel
whatever.
Day-Lewis or I mean it gets really fine-tuned.
Specific. And that just isn't true, right? It's actually not true about what makes people happy, what turns people on, what ends up being a good match. So I'm more interested in getting a person to really hone in on why they care about something and really articulate it from that place rather than just all the cliches that you think are the right answer or you think are gonna be the route to the destination you want to get to. Just I found time and time again people, they're just guessing, right? It's not the truth. And when you get down to the truth, it's very life-affirming for you and for whoever you're dating because the things we want are pretty similar from one another. You know, we want to be seen, we want to be heard, we want to be respected, we want to have fun with the person, we want to have a good time in bed, we want to like looking at their face, we want to, have compatible geographies and finances and ways we like to spend time. It's kind of, I think, comforting to realize that at the heart of it, we all kind of want the same thing.
Well, it sounds like your process is fantastic for getting the potential dater kind of game ready before they go out there. And
Yes.
then when they go out there, they have to be able to kind of report back to themselves after the date. How do you
Yes.
prevent them from being too left-brained about the process and not being fun? Because, dating should be a
Yes.
fun sport, if you will, and there should be some mystery in it. And there's something special
I
about
love
love
that.
where every time new people get together, they create their own little mini universe right there. So there's so many possibilities, but people are too, to me, left-brained about dating. What do you think, Lori?
That's really a good point. And I think I'm very left brain, so I err that way. And I think that I'm bringing in head where a lot of people are ruled by hoo-ha, and that's overall good. Like I'm rebalancing something that's been imbalanced. However, when we come up with the questions and the topics for the dates, for the first three dates, I'm careful that we weave in serious and fun, right? So I am careful to create that balance. And I think it comes more naturally to people to have fun and try to have a good time on the first three dates. So I'm correcting for that. But I'm not saying it's not important, if that makes sense.
So when the person, let's say you're coaching a woman and you get her game ready and she goes out there and she goes on a date and she's going to keep in the back of her mind the kind of criteria and the things you've trained her on, how does she have a good time during the date and kind of put like wait till after the date to go back and like not be focused
Oh,
on
yeah.
the results and focused on being in the moment. I always say that the key to dating, the one question that daters should ask themselves is, do I enjoy being with this person? Because
Lovely.
if that is not true, then none of the other stuff
What? None
matters,
of the other
right?
stuff matters. Yes. Agreed. Agreed. Beautiful. So I think you said it, right? Like, go back and think about it after the date. You don't need to be thinking about other than like these three or four questions I have in mind, and what's so beautiful today too about texting, if there can be one nice thing said about it, is that you actually can get a lot accomplished over texting where you have your notes right there and you're not face to face and you can just be like, hey, tell me more about your relationship with your mom. Tell me more about your relationship with the Mets. Tell me more about tell me more about that thing you mentioned about your kid. Like, so there's plenty of time for research and questions and learning more and writing it all down and figuring it all out. I agree with you. The focus should first and foremost be, do I feel comfortable? Do I feel safe? Am I having a good time? Do I like this face? Could our lives work together? Could we give each other what we need? That can be to some extent handled in texting. And it will naturally come up in conversations, but you don't need to stress out about making sure every question gets answered because it's not the end if you're charmed by the person and you're attracted to each other.
Okay, my special guest on Guys Guys Radio, dating and relationship expert extraordinaire, Lori Gerber. We have the woman's approach and the guy's approach, and kind of how do you bring them together? You're the expert. You have the women want to get a lot of information, and the guy doesn't want, he knows that sometimes they feel like they're being interviewed, and they
Yes.
overcompensate sometimes by giving a presentation because that's what
Yes,
they
so
do at work.
true.
Right. And the
You
woman
are
doesn't
correct.
want, they don't want to hear the presentation. They want to know who you are. But that, like, here's the list and here's the presentation. How do you kind of weave them together? What's the ancient art of weaving? How do you do that?
The ancient art of weaving. I mean, you said it all already, truly. I'll just underline for the man I'm coaching him not to give a presentation, right? Ask the question, listen to the answer, show you've listened, then you answer, or vice versa. And for the woman, I'm telling her men don't like questions. And I just interviewed Alison Armstrong. I'm sure you know her. And, you know, she said she interviewed a group of men in a room and asked them how many questions makes an interrogation. And do you know what they said?
Three. One.
One. So, you know, how do you get a man talking, right? You, I'd love to hear about blah, blah, blah. When we get together later.
And how do you get them to stop then too? Because, you know, if you press the button, they're going to go and go and go sometimes because they're nervous and they think you asked me this.
Right.
And like, let me give you the most complete explanation I can. And that's really, it's really about conversation, right, Lori?
Right. Right. I mean, again, I'm coaching men to try to make it 50-50, right? To try to just really keep track of that if they err towards nervous talking. Mm-hmm. But if you're the woman, I think another, and this is what Allison said in the interview, is you, before you ask him something or before you say, I'd love to hear about your career, or I'd love to hear about, you know, your relationship with your mother, you will say, listen, any question I ask you is fair game to ask me back. And I'd love it if you would. I particularly love questions about my kids, my grandkids, and my garden. Boom. Now he knows how to win. So then if he ignores that, you know, we have a problem. But if you've given him a way to win and you've set him up, he should be, you know, attempting. And I mean, I am not opposed to, you know, time out. Hold on. I need to digest and take in everything you've told me before we can go on here. Or, you know, hey, what do you want to know about me? Mm-hmm. Right. Like there are lots of tricks and ways to make sure. And again, it doesn't have to, some people would love to listen. I've got friends. I love to listen to them. If they talk 80% of the time, I'm happy. Right. And then I've got other friends. I want it to be 50-50.
Right.
So, and there's other friends too, where I'll take 80. So there's a time and a place for an inequality of who's talking the most, but in early dating, I recommend for both parties to look for and hope for, you know, about even. Mm-hmm. Just because you both need to find out about each other, right?
Absolutely. It should be a natural flow should happen. It shouldn't be uncomfortable.
That
like
would
start
be
and
ideal.
Stop and start. It should be a flow, like a conversation, like we're having. You mentioned online dating earlier, and I guess everybody in our generation is familiar with online dating at some form. Unless they've been married for 60 years or something, they've probably done online dating. What, you know, it's the necessary evil in some ways, and it can be a beautiful thing. I met my wife. She had a 3-day pass on Match for the weekend. She winked at me. We got together, and that was it. So it can happen. I had been on Match for like a year and a half.
That's a beautiful story. Don't give up. She might be on a 3-day pass, guys.
Exactly. So it's easy for people. In my experience on some of the online dating sites, there's too much choice almost out there.
Exactly.
And you have to be careful at how do you manage your behavior when you're getting involved in online dating, especially if you haven't done it before, because you could get burned. There's the honesty issue that I think a lot of women have with a lot of the guys on there. And you can't hide the fact that you don't have hair or that if you're 50 pounds heavier than what you said in your profile. How do you kind of manage your clients in terms of how to take care of the online dating component? Because if used wisely, it can be a real boon to your dating possibilities.
Truly, truly. I mean, I think one of the main purposes of what I do for a living is to help people avoid the fatigue and disillusionment of online dating. Because I don't know, I find it exhausting to go to a mall. You know, like it's exhausting because of what you said, that it's called the tyranny of choice, right? There's too many choices and my brain doesn't want to handle it, can't handle it, doesn't feel good, feels very tired. And so part of how we handle a mall is we go, I'm only going to these two stores, right? And I'm only going to pick things that fit me and I'm only going to shop for the next hour and I'm going to bring a friend, right? Like, and all the things that help you tolerate shopping also will help you tolerate shopping in online dating. In other words, have a team, have a coach, have friends, have, you know, people who are cheering you on, not psyching you out. Mm-hmm. decide the one or two you're going to do, not, and I would say one at a time, right? Not so many. Decide when you're going to be on and for how long, so you limit your fatigue and focus on what you want. In other words, have your 3H criteria sitting right next to you. Do not, I can't even tell you how many I work with clients and I literally go on the sites with them and they're saying yes to someone and I go, did you notice they said, this is a recent one, right? Like, did you notice they said conservative or ultra Christian or some dog whistle about some political thing or religious thing? Or did you notice they said open to having kids and you're 60? Like, did you notice that? Right? And so it's like we put these weirdo blinders on. It is like taking off the rack something you know is not your size because you wish it was, or you know it's not your color because you love the style, right? It's no. Like this is, I have to train you to look on the site and only put in your basket someone who's 6 or above in hoo-ha just by the pictures. And by the way, 50-50, those pictures are accurate, not 100%. So that's why we have a video chat. Who meets your basic criteria with what they're revealing, which people are still overlooking, just the basic things they say they want, and the person doesn't have them, and they're still putting them in the basket. And then in the text phase, which should only be a week to 2 weeks, you have to develop some sort of good rapport, banter, start asking your deal breaker questions, and feel good and safe about the match, or else. Nothing next. And then I do a video chat, and people resist this to the nth degree, but I insist on a video chat before you get dressed and spend money going out on a physical date. I know men sometimes feel that that is an unnecessary hoop and you have to meet me in person or you can never tell how great I am. I understand your fear, but people are wasting an incredible amount of time and creating a lot of fatigue and disillusionment by going on these first dates that have no business happening because you don't look like the photo, you don't live where you said you did, you don't actually, you're not who you represented yourself as in the texting and in the profile, and or there's just no chemistry for whatever reason, and all of that can be determined in a nice little chat like this. And after COVID, we all have learned how to connect on Zoom. We do all of our business on Zoom now. Come on, you can have a freaking FaceTime Zoom call, Google Meet, with an anonymous email if you don't want to reveal your identity yet, and see if there's chemistry before you're going on dates with people. These are just some of the ways I help people not get, again, fatigued and disillusioned by
You
an
know,
impossible situation, which is these dating sites.
I love that because what I was going to go to was about how much extra time sometimes spend with the online dating when they're not familiar. They'll write too long.
Oh my
And
gosh,
then it
right?
leads to a date where it's like a full dinner or something. You've never even seen the person. And I always thought that each step of the process, there is a different energetic exchange where, you're writing, you see how somebody writes, the words they use, their attitude, then you maybe have a phone call and there's an exchange there because you hear their voice, there's audio, and then you meet them. Well, I think the idea, especially because we're so used to Zoom, that you have a little video chat. I think it's a wonderful idea, and it could save you that moment where you meet somebody, you get all dressed up, you meet somebody, and it's like, no,
Not could save you, will save you for sure. Because 50, at least, I'm interviewing people all the time. At least 50% of people lie on their site. And that's men and women. That's every gender is lying about their height, their weight, where they live, and their age and their finances. Like everyone's lying about that. So I feel like we should just get over it already and ask for the video chat. And the person says no, then you are right. They're hiding something. Right? Good. You don't want to go on a date with them anyway. Someone who likes your pictures, thinks you're charming, has had good banter with you for 1 to 2 weeks, and wants to meet you will jump through that hoop. I've had people jump through that hoop when they don't know anything about technology. They still jump through that hoop if they really want to meet you.
I agree with you. What do they have to, why not? You present yourself all day at work or whatever. So put yourself out there. If you're confident, which is important, then you should have no problem with that. Make it a short chat.
Exactly.
The notion of like emotional intelligence and emotional availability, real buzzwords out there, and guys don't really think about that stuff, and women do. What does that actually mean for women and what are they actually looking for in guys? Yes. So guys know how to put that out there without being, like I call it, like a blubber push. You don't want them crying, you know.
It's a balance. It's a real balance. Right.
Like how do you make them vulnerable, you know?
I just did a podcast of this. Of this exact topic, and it's so funny because men don't think about emotional availability until you accuse them of not having it, and then they go, "Well, you don't have it either." Hello, it's all through the comments in the comments section. Like, women aren't emotionally available either, right?
That could happen.
So, emotional availability, in my definition, is you stay present through conflict. You pay attention. You remember. You're willing to talk things through. You're willing to speak about how you feel. Right. So it's to do with being accessible in terms of someone knows how you feel, but also how you handle conflict. All of that goes under emotional availability. So what a woman is looking for is that balance between closed book, you can't know what I think and feel, and venting, vomiting, purging, using me as a therapist. Right. So there's a nice range in the middle, right? Where you, and this is how I train my guys, is have your stories ready. You do need to be able to explain what you learned from your divorce, what you've learned from your children, what you've learned from work failures, what you've learned about money. Be ready to talk about vulnerably about what you have learned, but process it with a coach or a therapist so you're not doing the processing with the date or the girlfriend. Mm-hmm. This is true into long-term relationships, right? Like, it takes a village to help someone process their traumas and process their things. It should not be the spouse's entire, you know, responsibility, right, no matter how long and great your love affair is. Mm-hmm. So that's how I talk to my men. So I think that says it all. The women are looking for, you can talk about your feelings, you can stay through conflict and resolve it, but you're not using her as a therapist or
Stuff. So the hoo-ha, the all-important hoo-ha, when it's over 50, from your experience, how important is it? And I know everybody's different and every couple is different, but just general terms, how important is the hoo-ha aspect for the women over 50 from what you've heard and also for the guys?
Yes, I'll tell you what I've heard. and this is what I've heard from women and from men. It's everywhere from who cares anymore to it's incredibly important to me. Mm-hmm. And don't I just wish everyone would match up accordingly? Because there's everywhere across the gamut from, I just talked to a woman, I think she's 81. She broke up with her boyfriend because he stopped putting out. Whoa. Okay, like 81 years old, all the way to a 52-year-old that's like, I'm done. I don't care. I shouldn't have to. I'm going to go live on a commune with women. Right. So, and same with men, actually, because as you age, your hormones change as well. You know, so anywhere from I'd just be happy to cuddle to I need it every day. Right. So there is an enormous range. I mean, obviously, generally speaking, hormones change us and make us less bring up complications like ED and vaginal dryness and pain, but also just make us less focused on that because biologically we're not supposed to be procreating anymore. That aside, it's just an incredibly awesome range where nobody should take it personally if they're not a match with the person they're dating. You're either already a match, you both think it's once a week, or you're not a match but one of you's open to changing. But if neither are the case, that's just not your match.
Okay. How do you advise the guys out there when, I'm sure you've heard this, that they're not sure what the expectation is for them anymore? Because women are getting long overdue, and not enough of it yet, but long overdue recognition for the wonderful things they're doing. And they're on a straight line ascension in so many different ways. Guys are in the crosshairs. They are afraid to act, that they might do something wrong. Totally. Do I need to sign a contract before I ask you for a kiss? You know, all kinds of stuff. And like, maybe they're so capable. The women are so capable now. They don't need us the way they were. Our role is different than it was 50 years ago.
Yeah.
What do you, how do you advise guys in this?
Ooh, such a juicy topic. We could do a whole segment on this, but so things have changed. Men are in the crosshairs and they are less needed, like technically speaking. However, I think the more that women do all the jobs, the worse their lives get. And so I do think there's either a swing back or will be a swing back to we actually need each other. But right now, it is looking upsetting for men, if not scary, in the sense of I don't want to be considered a rapist, or I don't want to be considered an offensive, right? Anywhere from offensive to rapist, we can go the whole way. So I think that awareness is very important, and the way you, just for example, the way you spoke that would be a very good modeling of something a man could say to have a woman realize that he's conscious of that situation in our culture. So that's number one. Number two, there's nothing sexier than saying, "Can I kiss you?" A woman told me this line literally just yesterday. She said, "This guy who she had no idea liked her, they were hanging out, and he said, 'May I put your hair behind you? May I run my fingers through your hair and kiss you?'
I love
Can
it.
you, right? That was a risk, okay? But she swooned and she let him do it." Right. And I thought, wow, lines still work. But a line like that shows attraction, shows desire, shows romantic intent, but leaves it in her control. I think that's a wonderful, wonderful template for how you would proceed in terms of romancing or getting sexually intimate with a woman. And just, for each next stage, may I, blah, blah, blah. I'd like to, blah, blah, blah. Then when there's a trust built and a cadence in motion, then you can go like, hey, can I be spontaneous? Is that a problem? And then you can start being spontaneous, because it's not that asking permission every time is the only way you can go in your sex life, but it's a good way to start.
Can we flip that equation around then? How about for women? Should they be asking or not? I remember I was on a in my business career way back when I took this woman on a date. She was terrific, and I brought her home and to her place, and she invited me up, and I said this, we had a really good time. I was about to leave, and she literally threw me against the wall, and then things happened, but literally. And
Were you okay
so
with that?
I was okay. Yeah, I was like kind of cool at the time in this particular instance. Now, every time that might not be right, but this time it was
Right.
okay. I'm like, wow, I
Right.
was so surprised. I'm like, okay, fine.
Okay.
And it was good. But how about women? Do they need to ask
How, well,
permission?
how would you have felt if she had instead said, "I invited you back to my place for a reason"?
That would have been good too. I try to be open. I know not everybody says and does things that communicates in the best way possible. So I figured, well, the emotions got the best of her, and that was ne I've never had it happen before. I never had it happen exactly like that
It's an
after.
outlier.
It was an outlier, but I use it as an example because
It's a great example.
the rules apply to women also, and that's our last question.
I mean, theoretically, everyone deserves to give consent, and there are just generally more safety concerns for women. It's just a fact of our
Makes
physical
perfect sense.
bodies.
Okay.
So yes, but again, I would coach a woman to say, "I asked you back." To let the man lead in that, right? I would, if she can, I would have her say, "I'd love it if you kissed me," and see what happens, versus go on the again, in early dating. Once you're in a relationship, please
Got
role
it.
play,
Okay.
dress up, do all the things.
Okay. Lori Gerber, amazing conversation. Thank you so much for being here, Guys Guys Radio. I hope we can do it again.
Awesome.
Okay, bye-bye.
The station that makes you feel good. The station that makes you feel good.
Okay, what a fascinating conversation with a new guest on Guys Guys Radio, the founder of Lori Gerber Coaching, the one and only Lori Gerber, a dating coach, spent many years in New York City. She's been married for almost 30 years, and so she is a proof. She walks the walk and talks the talk, and she has a lot of great ideas as to how men and women can Find the Secrets to Finding Healthy Love at Any Age. Again, she has a seminar. It's the Master the Art of Love, and there's one for men, and there's one for women. And she's heard it all, and she has a lot of savvy advice, and she's a good critical thinker. She uses the left brain a lot. She has into processes, so sometimes for guys that's a challenge when it comes to things like dating, but I think women like that analytical approach a lot, so I'm sure she's very, very successful with women and with men, too, because men could use a little bit more of that when it comes to the dating process, because as Lori would say, we use the hoo-ha a little bit more than probably we should when it comes to determining who would be the best match for us. I think the other thing we learned is that, online dating is one of these necessary evils that if you're getting back into the dating game and you're over 50, you've got to consider it because it's the fastest way to meet the most people. And Lori had a fantastic idea for consideration that when you meet somebody online, you connect and it's feeling good. And maybe you've got to the point where you're texting back and forth. And I don't know if you've had a phone call or not, but she suggested potentially having a quick Zoom meeting with somebody before you actually meet them in person, in real life, if you will. And you could argue that going on Zoom and meeting somebody is in real life to a certain extent because you see the person, you hear them, you're eyeball to eyeball with them face to face. Similar to being across the table, and we use Zoom for everything nowadays, so why not use it for dating? So for your consideration only, I know a lot of guys might not be that comfortable with, I don't want to have a Zoom meeting before I go on a date, let's just meet someplace. I get it. It makes sense. But I think one of the things we need to do is us old dogs need to learn some new tricks if we want to be successful in the dating game here in 2026 and beyond. So good luck in your search for a perfect partner and for healthy relationships and love, and consider keeping an open mind. Okay, thanks so much for tuning in to another episode of Guys Guys Radio on UK Health Radio. We're back next week with another great show. And until then, like I always say, guys, finish first.